Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Yes, if you insist, we will race. You've raced right into a great Sunday of automotive programming on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show geared to gearheads like you, with your host, Ray Guarino, and co-host Chris Switzer. Chris, are you with us?
Hi.
Hey, you're there. All right.
And all right.
We are here to, now that the studio's cleared, we're here to provide some great automotive content today. Chris, good to see you again. Well, good to hear you again.
Always a pleasure, my brother.
I saw you on the Skype thing. Now you can see the clock and the phone light. So
that is what I can see, yes. I can't see you, though.
No,
I
know.
The clock and the phone light.
It's always a veritable fight to get the like 38 cameras, and to get one that works is always the problem.
Yeah, wow. I'm just shocked we're here with the technology that we have at our fingertips. I'm just shocked that we're actually able to make this work.
Oh, I know. You know, every week it's kind of it's another one of those cross your fingers and say, ooh wee, I hope it works moment. But so far, and I'll tell you something, I have to say this. People have asked, hey, it's great, how'd you get Chris back in the studio? And I divulged the secret that you're actually not in the studio with me. You're at a undisclosed location.
Yes.
And the thing that they've said to me that also kind of pisses me off, too, is you sound better than I do. your equipment sounds better than the studio equipment. And I noticed that, too, on the replay. Your stuff has this just a clean air of it. And I know it's not that musty basement that you're in. That's for darn sure.
Yes, no. It is definitely not the acoustics that are down here. Because I've come to realize that old VHS machines and boxes of back taxes are not good acoustical equipment, I would say.
No, not at all. So you do sound fantastic. We've noticed that.
Thank you.
And it's great to – it's good because at least one of us sounds good. So,
I must admit, with the technology that we're using – I can hear the phone calls really well.
Oh, good.
Incredibly well.
Okay.
They come flying in. It's better. It's kind of funny because, like you say, it's better than when we were in the studio.
Yeah.
Listening to the phone calls.
You may hear them better than I do. And I have to say, if you want to be a phone caller, all you got to do is just push those buttons that say 516-572-7440, but only for a short time, because after our first break, we have Mr. Mark Warman, the CEO of Graveyard Cars, calling in. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Mark will occupy the rest of the show because he always has a lot to say, a lot to catch up on. And so that's going to be our thing. Also, follow us on social media. Don't forget Motormouth Radio on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, on Instagram, it's Joe's favorite. It's real_MotormouthRadio. And that's where we post pictures. We just put a blast out last night advertising Mark, and another one this morning with a great – you got to watch the little clip because it takes from Tony D'Agostino's show last week, and the magical workers behind the microphones that are actually behind us behind the microphones are the guys that do that kind of stuff. We have a computer and media genius that works with us that put that together. So rivaling your best work, Chris, I got to say, it's – Well, I guess when you know this stuff, you know it. I don't, so I leave it to the people who do. So,
very good.
Yeah, check out social media.
That is the truth. Give it to the person that knows what they're doing.
You know,
give it to the professional.
It's the path of least resistance, right? It makes sense, you know? I know.
That's for sure. And that is for sure. So how was the week automotively, Ray? What'd you do?
It was kind of quiet. Let me get this out of the way first, because I know later I'm going to forget. I want to mention that you should listen to Good Gold on this station. Mondays at 10 a.m. You know who that is. That's Big Ed Newlands.
That's right. Rock and roll Ed Newlands.
The only guy that gives Mike Sims a run for the money in my book, I think.
And very true. I've taken notes as well.
Yeah. And Ed plays the hits and the forgotten songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So do that tomorrow at 10 a.m. on Mondays. And as far as automotively, luckily the cars in the fleet are in good shape. I did wash mine again this week because it was warm. I went to the shop and, you know, Mike had the bucket out. He was going to do his own car. And I said, hey, I'm washing my car. Did that.
You know what, Ray? You talk about washing cars. I have gotten to the point where this is how lazy I've become when it comes down to washing cars. I wait for the dew to fall onto the car in the morning.
Oh, boy.
Then I go out there with a rag. Uh-huh. And wipe it all down.
Okay.
And that's it.
Is that because water is expensive where you live and you're trying to be frugal or what?
I don't have time to roll the hose out and get the bucket and fill it with water and get the soap. I just don't have time. Yeah. I don't have time. So I go out there with a rag. Right. I have enough time to open the garage door. Yeah. That's about it. I go out there, I get the rag, I wait patiently. Like we had a day.
Oh, I see you waving. Hey, there you are. I see you. Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, I got you.
We had a day. I'd say about 2 weeks ago up here in the great state of Connecticut, where it was like a 60-degree day, and it had just rained the night before. So I go outside, and both of the cars are covered in a thin film of water. I'm like, I have to take advantage of this.
Oh, very
I have
good.
To do it. And I had neighbors coming up the driveway going, what are you doing? I said, I'm wiping my car down, dude. Yeah. This is the best.
You know, let me take advantage of this. I just found something out because we are Skyping now also. So
yes,
you can
we are.
See the phone light. I went over to the computer that has your image and it was very small. And if I grabbed a corner, I could make the box bigger. So if the image of me looks small, you can probably make it large, or the image of the studio looks small, you can probably make it larger. By just grabbing it, and it only gets to a certain size. It'll only get to maybe a quarter of the screen, but, you know.
No, I went from very, very small postage stamp to, like, billboard size. There's no in-between. Oh, now the camera's moving.
I know, I'm playing
with it. Holy, I need a Dramamine. What am I doing? What's going on? What's going on, Ray?
I'm readjusting it.
What are you doing? Oh, hey, whoa, oh, lights. What is this? We have to put this on Facebook Live. This is crazy. What are you doing, young man?
Now Rob
I see
has
plants.
No, I figured I'd see if I could just get a better view, but the cord is
I got
tight.
A great view of the drop ceiling.
You're in Rob's hands right
and
now.
And you are upside down.
I know, we're all in Rob's hands. It's scary. Whoa.
This is entertainment, my friend.
The key, Rob, the thing we could do is if we could see me and the light would be just, you know, ideal.
You know, but this is the way this show has always been. Why don't we just test when we're off the air?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, the thing is because before this show, Rob is on the air.
Hey, there you are.
We don't want to impose too badly on. There you are. Okay, good. And
I gotcha.
Can you see the? Well, you can't see the. Well, it doesn't matter. We're gonna have one call today. It's not like you're gonna have.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
Just wave. You can just say wave and say, I got a phone call. Or,
exactly.
Be quiet. I got a phone call.
Exactly.
That's it.
Well, that
That's
was the impetus of this, so that we could actually do the show from different locations and make it sound like we were somewhat competent.
Right. Well, last week, I had a laugh because thankfully I was looking at you last week in the little tiny screen on my phone, and you had gotten up and walked away.
Yeah.
And I was talking, and I'm like, for a second, I'm saying to myself, I don't see him. Where did he go? Like, he's gone. Where did you go? It's like, I have to carry the show. What are you doing?
Do you see that flashy thing now?
There it is. Yeah, I got it.
That
oh
means we have a call, so we'll push the button and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Hey, Cliff, what's happening?
What's up,
Cliff? Not nothing much. I'm looking forward to the show today from hearing from Mark Warman. And, in fact, there was a big email blitz from the Mopar, Long Island Mopar Club, letting everybody know in the club.
That's right.
So hopefully we got a lot of Mopar guys out there listening today.
Cliff, I got to ask you a question. You would know more than most, and I am really reaching here. How many people do you know something about C-body Chryslers?
Yeah.
You know, not that many with the C-bodies, I would say.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
A, B, and E-body crowd, you know?
Right, exactly. It'll say, wait, we're talking about the same company here, the same cars. What is going on? I ask people, they look at me, they give me the blank stare. That's blank parts question. Guy stare.
Good question for Mark, too. Like, has he restored any of those, you know, or he gets any, like... Anything
this is
different.
Why I'm bringing it up. No, Mark hasn't, and that's why I want to ask him again.
You know, guys, I'll tell you this. On the Friday night show, he did show that he has I think it's a 1970 Chrysler 300C, the Hurst version.
It's
in the lot, and that is planned for a restoration, so he will be doing that car. We could talk about it when he calls.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, and I think that has there was another show, I don't remember what show it was, did an interesting take on one of those, a restoration of one of those, and I might have been, I'm not sure what show it was, but they talked about a lot of the hood is very problematic because the hood is made out of fiberglass on that car.
That's correct.
Yes.
I don't recall what show it was, but it was one of those, you know, auto shows that I saw over the past couple of years, and they talked about the hood being very difficult to work with and getting correct, you know. But
it was on, Dan Short did that, Glenn, on Phantom Works.
Dan Short, that's right. Yep. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
Cliff,
and you know what's funny is a lot of car to restore. That is a big car, and it's amazing because, you know, there's so much involved. Those cars, a lot of those cars, power windows and so many electronics, and very expensive car to restore, but they just don't seem to demand the same dollar as some of the other, you know, the A, B body car, E body cars especially, you know. And
They're the best bargains in the business right now. They're the best bargains in the business. You can find the best one possible for $20,000.
I saw a beautifully restored one at Mecum like about 2 years ago. It was beautiful, and it was like much less money than, you know, some of these other. It was much less money than it cost to restore it, you know.
Do you think that will change, Cliff? Do you think that's going to change in the future?
I don't know, you know. I think you still got that big, you know, everybody wants that E-body, you know, a B-body. And I love the A-body. And I love the 340 Dusters and the Demons. I think that they're the best for your money. And those have really come up in price. Like, they've crossed the threshold of...
I was just going to say.
You see them for $40,000, $50,000, you know, and up some, you know, rotisserie restored one. I know it's the same amount of labor to restore whatever car it is, whether it's a four-door Valiant or a two-door car, you know.
Well, I was just going to say that they did come up, but the thing that does change the tail a little is if the replacement parts are available and if the repro parts are available. And like in the E and the B bodies, that is, but where the A's and the C's, not so much.
Not as much. Yeah.
I think my prediction is I think the C's will come up because just like the B body GMs, the Impalas and the Roadmasters and the Caddies, you know, they've come up over the years. Of course, Impala's been around for a long, long time. I think the Chryslers will do the same.
And now all the '80s cars are big now, you know. So it's all everybody's coming through their different times and era. I think a lot of the, unfortunately, what I've seen is a lot of the '50s cars and older. You're losing a little bit of that crowd that appreciated them. And I've seen it a lot of these auctions and shows. Some of these cars that were big money cars back in the day are going for like a lot less money. And there's a lot of older restorations out there now that, you know, unfortunately some of the guys are older and not really using them. And there's a lot of these old 50s cars, 40s cars out there that maybe the younger crowd doesn't appreciate as much, but they're out there. And some of them are bargains now. You know, I saw, I'll let you go, but I was at Mecum in Kissimmee a couple of weeks ago, and I saw Tony D'Agostino had a couple of nice collection there for sale.
Yeah.
Some beautiful Survivor cars he had. And, you know, so I didn't see what they had sold for or went for, but I did see them in one of the main tents, and they were beautiful cars.
Right. Yeah, Chris.
Cliff, you went back home with the Challenger convertible, the green Challenger convertible.
Which is the one I would have wanted. Yeah, that's the one I would have wanted.
That was the unrestored with the hubcaps, I think,
yes.
Right? That was the Yeah, that was a beautiful car. Yep.
Yeah,
really nice. And he had a beautiful white, I think, with red interior Daytona that was there. Really sharp car.
That's
and,
old.
Nice stuff.
Nice
stuff. But all right, fellas, it's great to hear you. I'm painting the basement while I'm listening to you.
All right.
So, all right. Take care. Stay
take
well.
Take care, Cliff.
All right, Cliff. So long. Oh, that's good friend Cliff always checking in and keeping us honest, if you will.
Very true. Very true. You know, I had a laugh. I was just thinking about it while Cliff was talking. I just recently repaired the headlight doors on the 300.
Okay.
The Newport 300 now. And, cause the headlight doors did not work. So I went through the schematic and you'd be proud, Ray. I was able to read the schematic.
Oh, nice.
All by myself. I didn't have to call you.
Okay.
And, cause I would have. And, was able to get it done. But I've come to realize there is a certain, finesse that you are totally aware of when you look at a hidden headlight door on a General Motors product. Mm-hmm. They go down and up with a certain smoothness. They drop easily and they go brum. They make that noise. You mm-hmm. hear it from the driver's seat. They go brum.
Right.
And then they go up. Ka-dum. That's it. Mm-hmm. In a General Motors car, that's what you get. Mm-hmm. The refinement. In my Chrysler, they come down like a bank vault door.
Nice.
Shakes the whole front of the car.
Nice. Maybe a damping mechanism missing there, huh?
I have to find those little rubber tips
right.
and put them everywhere.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, I got a good tip for you now. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we should be getting a call from Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars. So everybody should stay tuned. And Chris, you stay right where you are. Dust that beam behind you because I see a spider
web. Oh, that one right back there?
I see Lord Bentley. He just climbed down the thing there. So I will push the pushy things and slide the slidey things, and we're going to play
one. Sounds
good. We'll go on one of my favorite car songs here on Motormouth Radio. And keep it where you got it. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We got Joe in the clouds. He's watching my back on 90.3 WHPC.
WHPC wants to let you know that the Nassau Community College Africana Studies and Theater and Dance Department production present Sisters on Fire, a musical by Professor Marcia McNair and Professor Anissa Moore. In Sisters on Fire, a musical, the personal becomes the political when passionately opinionated African-American women speak their minds in a soul-stirring mix of song, dance, spoken word poetry, and prose. The interrelated dramatic monologues examine pressing social issues from an African-American female perspective. Presented on Nassau Community College's Main Stage Theater inside Building W with performances January 24th through February 2nd. Ticket and show information can be found by calling 516-572-7676. This show is brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs, with three Long Island locations close to Nassau Community College, including 202 Glen Cove Road in Carl Place, 988 Hempstead Turnpike in Uniondale, and now open at 2345 Jericho Turnpike in Garden City Park. The menu at Jersey Mike's Subs includes their juice, a red wine vinegar and olive oil blend, plus cooked-in-store roast beef, baked-in-store breads, and more. Information about Jersey Mike's Subs can be found by calling Carl Place at 516-865-1200. Uniondale at 516-307-1200, Garden City Park at 516-619-1400, or by visiting jerseymikes.com.
Yes, we are Jive Talking on 90.3 WHPC, and that is Chris Switzer on cowbell, by the way. Don't let yourselves be fooled. Live read, and he plays cowbell, too, so this man is a talent.
Not at the same time.
Boy, you never said that in 12 years of doing a show on me.
No, but I have said this. 516-572-7440. Pick up the phone. Call us. For crying out loud.
That is true.
Come on. True. Come on.
Yes.
Standing here talking to Ray.
I know. All right, we are back on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only one motor talk show with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and I do believe we have on the line Mr. Mark Warman. Mark, are you with us?
Good morning, guys. Yes, I am.
Well, then you know what? You have to go out through the door and come back again because we have to give you your intro. Let me do that now. I know you got your Challenger out in the parking lot, so I hear it. All right, we'll just give you a little taste of that because we want to talk to the master of Mopar himself, Mark Warman. Pleasure to have you call, Mark. Thanks for spending some time with us on a Sunday morning.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, anytime. You know, you're on our rotation, and our fans, and well, our fans, I don't know if we have fans. We have, our fans are in the window. Usually they blow at us. But our listeners really love you. They love the show. You know, the East Coast is definitely Mopar country, and we've been called Mopar Mouth Radio because we play to it so much. And we have the Long Island, I got to say, we have Long Island Mopars, the Mopar Club, listening today, too.
Oh, yeah. Great group of guys. Yep.
Yep.
Good. Hey, everybody out there.
Yep. So that's the deal. Chris, Chris is with us. I see him somewhere. Let's get his mic up. I'm sorry about that. So, Mark, we're in season, what is it, 11, or do you call it 12 now? We lost track.
I don't know anymore.
How does that work?
We do a deal for 26 episodes. When we do our deal with the network, we make 26 episodes. We call it one season, but they break it into two. So it gets confusing. But I believe what's airing right now is season 11.
Right.
No. The season 11 or season 12? I'm with you, Ray. I'm confused.
Okay, good. We're in good company. I'm in good company then, because I don't know. But
it's one of the longest running shows on the network, I might add.
Yes. And I have to say, you know, we'll just throw the stuff right out, right at the beginning, because, you know, I've said this to you before. We hear a lot of stuff, a lot of picks and pans, like, hey, why did that Mark do this, and why didn't he? Like, what do I know? I don't work with the guy. I'm not part of his TV show. Leave me alone. So this season, you've changed it up again, and I think it's great that you have the liberty to do that, because you do control the production, even though your production guys say differently. So, you know, you're doing things a little different, and now this last episode that we saw went back to, I like this version where it's segmented car by car by car, and you give updates on each one, but tell us a little bit about what you did do different that's raising everybody's hackles.
Well, the beginning of the season, well, first off, everything that we do comes somewhere from my little pea brain. Usually it's a dream I have or something that I say, oh, this is going to be a great idea. And then everybody fights me upstairs on it, and I end up, you know, having to bow my neck and throw my weight around a little bit and get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I never regret any of the things that we tried, because one thing I promised a long time ago was, this is back in the beginning days, I was on some other radio show or something, and I said, I will always keep it different. I'll keep you guessing.
Right.
And I think because we do change constantly, it's almost like the rope-a-dope. You're too tired to change the channel. I mean, you're used to it, and you say, well, God, next week he's going to do this, next week he's going to do that. And I probably do, and then we switch it up again the following week, and they go, God, why did he do that? He went back to that other stuff. The beginning part of the season, we were very, very motivated to do. I'm a big fan of The Office, the BBC version. The American one's great, too. But it's for simpler minds like Tony D'Agostino, who gets a big kick out of Michael Scott. The British version is much more intelligent, and you have to really listen, and the humor is more subtle. So that's more my cup of tea.
Uh-huh.
Now, after insulting Tony, I'll say, we had the network come back to us, and some of this I can talk about, some of it I can't, but at the beginning, when we first signed our deal this year, I got on the phone with the network, and they said, believe it or not, we've been doing focus groups, and now that we're Motor Trend, and it looks like the favorite thing of our viewers, of your share of people that watch our show, love your shtick. They love it all.
Mm-hmm.
So for 11 seasons, we've been apologizing for Mark Warman and walking everything back. So this season, just go be yourself and we'll own it.
Okay.
So that was a true story. So we went with my dream of doing The Office-esque type of thing and really turning the cameras on the crew here that helped make the show. And so everybody could get a real serious feeling. I mean, obviously there's some fun in there, but get an honest, transparent look at what it's like to work with Mark Warman and make a TV show. And it actually, I think it was the third episode where I was doing my Michael Jackson hip thrust on the whole lot lift. That was our highest rated episode of the season so far.
Wow.
So go figure. But the pushback on Facebook was horrific, and it always is. I don't know exactly why the split is the way it is, but if you go on Facebook, they love to hate. love to hate. Favorite thing in the world, can't wait to hate on you.
Mm-hmm.
Get over to Twitter, and they're very honest and open, and they're not there to hate on you. They're really giving you an honest feedback. So it was interesting because of pure hatred. I should play you one of my messages I got. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, those are a blast. They're usually X-rated, so people inviting me to do things with myself. And anyway, point being, on Twitter, the feedback, I even got some of my loyal fans to say, well, we love you, we're always going to watch you, but we kind of miss the old format. Mm-hmm. So really, around episode 5, I sat down with DL, our producer, upstairs, and said, let's switch it up again. Let's give them 3 really dry, sterile, all car content episodes. So that's what you saw prior to last Friday night's episode. Was we kind of cleansed the palate, and now we're going. Now you have to watch and see what we're doing, because it is also hysterically new, what you're going to watch starting next week.
Okay. Good. I got to say, this last episode, I liked, there were a lot of things in it I liked. One thing you had mentioned later on in the episode is you talked about the equipment in the shop. And I just think, you know, good equipment in the shop equals good personal safety. You know, people are, if they can work safer and they can, they're in a better environment, more work can get done and there's less. So that's great. I think that's, I love seeing.
I agree
stuff.
With you completely. I've been in this business my whole life, and I've seen people get hurt lifting an engine block up, or even a transit, or even when you lift least expect it, just lifting something up that's not right in close concentric to you, and you reach out a little bit, and that's how accidents happen. So give them some lifting equipment, give them good lifts, give them the things that they need, and try to reduce that number of. Workers' comp claims.
Right. And if you guys like us, as we're aging, lifting something precarious might mean a paper bag off the floor.
You know? Well, back there, I'm sure that's true. Out here, we're still pretty healthy.
Folks. Oh, sure. Yeah, you guys are in great shape. I know, yeah.
You talk about being a contortionist. I was just watching you trying to get a heater box into a Challenger. And you had this great idea. You were like, why am I doing this? But I saw you like literally wrestle with it. You were like Gorilla Monsoon in there wrestling with the heater box. And talk about being a contortionist.
What car was I working on? I don't recall that bit.
It was, it's on YouTube. I saw it. It was probably season 5 or season 6.
Oh, geez,
I got a lot to catch up on.
It wasn't when I was trying to get the clevis pin way back in season 1 and I was cussing like a sailor, was it?
No. Tony D'Agostino was there. He was there. So what was that? That was, he paid a visit over to you.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. He's here all the time. He's like a bad penny. He just keeps turning up.
You were working on that, it was a 70 Challenger sunroof car. Purple.
Oh, the sunroof car, purple. Right.
It was nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
and just watching you wrestle with that thing.
Yes, the sunroof purple 70 Challenger, one of one, 440 automatic houndstooth interior, FC7 V1X black top with the V21 hood. Yep,
right.
I was.
You guys got all that, I'm sure.
That whole video.
Yeah,
totally. I wrote it all down.
Well, you know what? No, we have guys like you, and that's to rely on. But you know what? That brings up That brings up a great question. A good friend. I actually forwarded you an email from him this week about a CUDA that's been doctored and going to Barry Washington had sent that to him. It was an alert. But he had asked, "What's the rarest car you have out in the graveyard, and the rarest one you've put through the shop?" Now, you know, that's kind of an odd question because you just explained on the show we saw on Friday night the CUDA you're working on with the 3-speed is a 1 of 8.
That's getting down there, right?
So it all depends how you want to look at the statistic, really, because you had even said it's not the rarest of the breed.
That's right. It's a big misunderstanding, or it's just one of one, one of two. It's hyperbole, because the truth of the matter is, if you take that purple 71 CUDA 343 speed, 8 is the total number of 71 CUDA 343 speeds. Convertibles, sorry if I repeated myself there, that were ever made. Now just add purple to it. Right. How many of those 8 were purple?
Yeah.
How many of those 8 had a white top?
Mm-hmm.
How many of those 8 were a power top? How many were white interior? How many were AM radio and not AM FM or AM cassette? Mm-hmm. How many of them were standard dash? So you can break it down, and it's not hard to get a one of one car.
Right.
But when I look at a one of one or one of two or one of eight, I'm kind of forgetting all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting options like shaker hoods that narrow it down or power sunroofs that nail it down. And just, I go for the raw numbers, engine, transmission, and VIN.
Right.
So the rarest car is the 1970 Coronet that ended up coming back with some QC issues. 426 Hemi 4-speed car. Yeah, it's loaded with everything else. But on its own merit, they only built two.
That was my guess, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, it's the only one left alive today.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the brown one.
Yeah, or the beautiful car. One. Yeah, beautiful car.
Yeah,
yeah, so as... give me 1 second. I need to refer to something here. I know you hear me flipping through the pages. Just
yeah,
give me one second.
And that'll give me a second to mention that you are listening to Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, with our special guest, Mark Warman of Graveyard Cars from Oregon, giving us some time on this this sunny Sunday on the East Coast. I don't know how...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how Oregon's doing, but...
You know, today woke up, it was really... Let me mute this stupid thing. It was a beautiful... It rained cats and dogs yesterday.
Yeah, here
but
too.
Then today I woke up and there was fog in the air and there was a little light mist over the cars in the driveway, a little frost. So I don't know. I think today's going to be nice, but I think it's welling back up again for tomorrow and the rest of the week. We have a 70 Roadrunner we're trying to get that delivered to a guy, and he wants to wait to come up and check it out until it's... He can drive it, and he can't drive it in the rain, so
yeah.
We've been sitting here for 2 weeks waiting on him. The rarest car I probably have, well, I'm going to have to say that's not true either.
What about that 70 Chrysler 300C that you teased us with on Friday night? Because we were just talking about C-bodies, and there you go.
Well, on that car, it's a rough old girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of rust, but real nice guy down in Florida. Always wanted one, ended up coming across this, and it's out of the Florida area. So, like I say, it's a real rusty car, but I've got lots of parts up north that our friends at Wildcat. They specialize in a lot of those C-body things, so we won't have too much trouble getting the pieces we need for it.
Right.
But I believe the number was 501 of those cars were made. So, yeah, it's rare. I mean, considering that was, 1970, and you split that up among 50 states, that's getting down there pretty low.
Yeah.
But
sure.
It's definitely not the rarest one. I was just looking one up for fun here because I just brought in an all-original paint Survivor car, but it needs restored. Survive, meaning it survived as long as its original paint,
yeah.
But it isn't good enough to show.
Sure.
It's a 70 Challenger RT V-code, 446 back 4-speed.
Nice.
Convertible.
Whoa, nice.
Whoa.
61 of them made.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet.
So that's rare, but still, you go to our Purple Cuda and there you got it beat. But
yeah,
rare doesn't always equate to cash.
In the world of Mopars, how many, I would imagine that when we talk about Hemis, which is, you know, the king of the hill, the elephant in the room, how many four-door Hemi cars were ever made? That's got to be kind of a rare
one. Oh, man, I know Tony knows that a lot better than I do. Not many. One guy here in Oregon has one. I thought it was a 66. I think
yeah.
He has a red 66 four-door Satellite. Because in 66, you can get any engine in any car.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't know that there was ever a wagon built, though.
I
know he's got one, and then I think Galen or somebody Galen knew had one. I bet there aren't probably 10 or more, maybe 66 Hemi four-door cars.
I could see some Southern sheriff back in the day saying, hey, you know what, this is the engine we need in our car.
yeah, catch those darn Duke boys.
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Run and shine.
But that's the thing. This is, from what the feedback we get, this is what I see people want to see you do. They want to see you talk about stuff like this and the options and they want to see Mopar. They don't want to see any other stuff. And, you know, that's just, I'm just relaying what I've heard and seen.
Well, it's okay. I mean, it's conflicting for me because when I watch back through that episode, which I do, I watch the episodes as they air, as they drop on actual network TV. I think it's boring.
Yeah.
I look through it and I think, I know you find this really hard to believe, but on Friday I thought, that's way too much Mark Warman. I know you find that hard to believe that I would say that, but I felt like it was just way too much me and it was so sterile and it was just about numbers is. I mean, it had no fun entertainment value. Because I know what you're connected really well. You got your finger on the pulse of car guys and gals out there. Mm-hmm. But the network, they're just, they have their finger on the pulse of everybody, all walks of life.
Yeah.
And one of the favorite things that makes Graveyard Cars a return series is the personal interaction between the characters, the fun. They love the dancing, they love the movie quotes, the one-liners, the attempts at humor that often fall flat. That in itself is what is funny.
Right, right.
So I have a lot of people to try to keep watching that show.
Oh, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sure, you know, as you've said, being the most popular show, obviously what you're doing is working, so, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, if I do something where I do it, by the eighth or ninth episode in, if I was a real sterilized show and went back to just kind of like Friday's episode where it was all just car, 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 talk, 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 car, 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 then I would lose that group I told you that like the fun and the interaction. Sure. They'd start tuning out. Right. So then I have to switch back over and add that back in to keep them on the couch too. So it's, yeah, if anybody had the answer, they'd be rich. I mean, even the networks don't have the answers. What makes people tune in? Well, so we just do the best to figure it out.
I think I have an answer, and I'm certainly not rich, and I'm not going to get that way by having my own opinion. You need another show. You need a second show that's kind of that caters. You know, you could have two separate shows that cater to different aspects of what you do, and I'd watch them both.
It's actually kind of funny because we've talked about that just recently.
Okay.
If that weird episode, those first three episodes where it was very Office-esque, rated so well, but the car people hated it, well, that sounds like two different slices of the pie for two different slices of people.
Yep, true.
So why don't you show what goes on to making the show? Make another show about here's what really happens in the process trying to make Graveyard Cars. If you don't like it, don't tune in because on Friday night, it's the regular Graveyard Cars OG, if you will, original gangster. Mm-hmm. Just came up with that. And that'll be very car-centric. So, yeah, wow. I think so. We got to kind of think outside the box. Of course, there's only enough Mark Warman to go around.
Actually, you know, Mark, maybe OG, where you're concerned, should be considered original Graveyard.
Oh, that's what I think it is.
There we go, right?
I think I'm going to take credit for that.
Sure.
That's brilliant. You don't re-air this, do you?
Yeah, we do. But you know what? I take credit for enough things you do, so why not? We'll just share.
Okay, great. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, I got a question off the interline here. Someone wants to know what a 999 paint code is.
Well, it's a paint code that was given to a car that they didn't quite have the paint code yet for it. And so, okay. Richard Petty's color when it first came out, I think 70. No, it, boy, this is where Tony's a little quicker on this one. I hate saying that, but I believe officially Petty Blue was out in 70, but I think it was available on some cars in 69, and it would have got the 999 paint code.
Oh, okay.
I know I have, you know, our 68 Charger that we just did that slant six on?
Yes. I want to get back to that, yeah.
It is painted a beautiful, from the factory, it is an orange, and I can't remember what Dodge called it, but it is in the chip book. But the paint code on the car is 999 because they didn't have that orange by the time that car was built and the fender tag came out. They didn't have a code for it.
Right.
So it usually represents an odd color that's coming out or a one-off type of color. It represents something like that. That's why you have to have the broadcast sheet to go with it if you're really going to document it. So, for example, I looked up a... I had a guy send me a 1969 Roadrunner that was FM3 Panther Pink.
Okay.
Well, Panther Pink didn't come out till 70.
Right.
So the paint code was 999, but bigger than heck, I chipped it, and it was a real FM3 Panther Pink or Moulin Rouge in the Plymouth lineup.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So pretty cool.
That's why, you know, that's the one thing, Chris and I kind of grew up being GM guys, but the one thing I've always was enamored of Chrysler's, and still am, is the amount of data that the car carries with it that can be discerned. It's fantastic. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, it is the truth.
It's like what my doctor wants to do now. He wants to put a chip in so all my medical data is there. And I'm like, what am I? What am I, an e-body? Yeah, okay.
No, that I read about that in the Book of Revelation. You should pass on that chip.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll remember that, yeah.
Mark, was there ever a car that really stumped you? Like you just stood back and went, I'm lost on this one. Was there anything that really kind of messed you up that way?
Well, are you talking about something wrong with the car that I couldn't resolve, or just one that didn't make sense, that didn't add up?
Yeah, just something that just didn't add up. Was there anything like that?
Oh, there's a lot. I can't just think of anything. I would say once a month something happens. It's usually a problem or a failure. It's something, typically speaking, where you have all the metal fitting on a car, the door, and it takes time to do that. You put new quarters on it, trunk floor extensions, main floor, inner rockers, outer rockers. You've lost a lot of structure at one point, but it's on a frame jig. It's all welded back together again. You fit the door. You get the door gap on it. You take it off the rotisserie. You move it out to the shop. They do the body work. You sign off on it. Will takes it over. He does the paint work on it. Of course, you have to take it back apart for that. Mm-hmm. Take the doors and the fenders back off. He paints everything. Put them back on, and you cannot get the lines again.
Oh, boy.
Almost as though the door or the fender, whatever adjacent panel is, it's not lining up, like it grew or shrunk.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, it's really mysterious, because at one point I said the center style line on that 70 Charger is like a razor. It goes from the taillight all the way to the grill. It's flat and it's clean. Yeah. And the lower one that intersects with the lower section of the quarter and the door, it's beautiful. They go out, they do the paint work on it. All the sanding's done. All the sanding's done. Paint it, put it back on, and it's half an inch too low at the bottom. How did the line do that? The door still fits. How'd the line move?
Yeah.
So I guess that, to me, is a great example. I thought one day I would do something kind of highlighting it, although people at home think you just don't know what you're doing. You got to be careful about pulling back that curtain.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, totally.
I got a lot of
messages
about that 70 Coronet. I thought that if a car comes back because of these type of issues that could have been avoided, we should own it, and that's why we did that. We wanted to show transparency. We want to show that we're real, that we make mistakes. We're the last thing from perfect. But, boy, I had a lot of messages. You dumb SOB. How can you take a $1 million car and do that? You should be taken out and destroyed, euthanized.
Yeah, yeah. I saw some on Twitter.
Yeah, these guys get crazy.
You know, and that's the thing. I sit back and not being part of your show, I look at it and say, oh, poor Mark. You've built this empire, and you disseminate this information to a lot of people. People who know a lot of information now can learn more, because none of us know it all. You come close, but nobody else does. And it's the onus is on you. There's a lot. I mean, people expect everything from you. And do you ever sit back and say, what the hell did I do?
Yep.
All right.
Every day that I get a message. Now, is this live or no?
Yes, we're live right now. Yes.
Very live.
So, can a bad word be said?
No. I would have to dump you, if you did.
Okay.
And then that would be fetid out.
So, okay. Yeah. Well, I can't play any of my messages in.
Yeah.
I record all my hate mail.
Right.
And one guy say that my daughter's ass was the biggest, fattest ass he'd ever seen in his entire life.
Oh, jeez.
And that he had just tapped it last night.
Oh, good.
And that I was a punk ass, B-I-T.
Yeah.
And he just goes on in this thing. It's like, what did I do?
Yeah.
All I did was come in. You let me in your living room.
Right, right. Well, that's it. There's the keyboard commandos. Everybody is a tough guy behind.
They are. And they are. That's true. It's funny. But I also get love mail. I've got a lot of that stuff where people say, I really enjoy the show. God, every time you show something, it brings back. These are older people that, their glory days are gone. And this show, these cars, these colors, I think it's a trigger.
Yeah.
Bring them back to the 70s when they were in high school and everything was good and we were all healthy. And so really, that to me, one of those cancels out a million of those creeps.
Is it Amber Dawn? Is that her name, who follows you on Twitter? I see her stuff all the time. Sounds like
Amber,
really nice lady. I mean, she's got a lot of nice stuff to say, and she's very positive about stuff. And I love reading her posts. I think that they're one of the best ones.
She's sweet. She's really networked. Her and, what's that other kid? She's as sweet as can be. They even sent us a little Christmas. Oh, Mark, I'm so bad.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah, anyway, you're right. Some of those folks over there are just, Twitter's just really nice. And they're real car people, and they love interacting, and I love interacting, so it's cool.
I want to mention.
It's funny.
Yeah, go on, Chris.
Go ahead. I just wanted to jump in right for a sec. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the molesting basically a $1 million car. How do you feel about that? These cars, when we were kids, these cars were used cars on a used car lot.
Yeah.
How do you feel that you're working on million-dollar cars? Like, the pressure is on. And do you think that, like, that has something to do with the hate mail or something like that? What do you think about these million-dollar cars that were at one time $1,000 cars?
I think the hate mail pretty much is just, like you said, it's keyboard commandos, it's jealousy. It's really nothing as noble as the value of a car offending somebody. These guys, they're mouth breathers. They don't even know what these things are or not. On a personal level, when it comes to these
million dollar cars.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, the person that has the million-dollar car has $1 million. So it's not like quite like you and me, right? So you and me, I mean, that's crazy talk. That's insanity. That's that's 2.5 times more than my house.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. But the guy that owns it has 50 of them in his garage just like it.
Right.
And so all I know is if I put the car back the way I believe it started its life, then you can't get mad at me. If the paint is the same quality or better, if the assembly is the same quality or better, if everything is at least the same or better, not too much better because then it's over-restored, then it's a win for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, it's always intimidating. The most intimidating thing to me is that I've got cars out in the graveyard that I wish I had a 100,000-square-foot building to put them in. Because even though we're going to restore them, it's great to preserve as much as you can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mark, we're getting to I believe it's 12:45 already. We're at the end of the show. I wanted to say, I promised that I would mention, you were on plane in traffic with us in Lewis Lee about a year ago, I guess. And Lewis asked me to extend another invitation to you to come back on the show. And, you can reach out to him or he can get in touch with you however you want to do it. And we'll get you in on a Thursday night. We just had Justin Nichols from Wrenched, which is another TV show that's on Motor Trend. From Nichols Paint and Fab, and he was talking all about stuff just like this, like how he balances these cars and then the cars that have to put food on his table, as well as the show cars, the TV.
Well, this is a real shop. So right at the end of the day, you have to, every one of those stalls costs money to have those cars in. You have to turn them out, and they have to be done right. So yeah, I haven't seen that show. I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're with SEMA this year, too. Of course, you can't see everybody at SEMA. It's huge. But, yeah, they're a younger crew, and they're out of Indiana or Illinois, I forget. One of the I states, not Iowa.
I love hearing stuff like that. There's so many great shops and great guys and gals out there that just maybe you never get the shot.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you got to take the shot to get the shot. But, but nonetheless, it's still, I love seeing. The more shows, the merrier. The more people, the merrier. It's fun. It's once in a lifetime. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. When I'm 80 years old, if I'm blessed to live that long, it'll be a time in my life, just like the kids being raised, just like going to high school. It's all a time of our life. So I'm good for Justin, and it sounds like he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. And, so we'll try to get you back on that show, and we'll do some video stuff.
Now, real quick here.
Yeah.
I heard Tony blabbering something in some excerpt on my Facebook page, some laughter about me. What are you guys doing? You guys coming at the ice tray for some reason?
That's a little promo. Actually, when we had Tony on last week and I mentioned you, I said, we're going to have Mark on next week, or we're going to have Mark on soon. He says, Mark who? That became part of our little promo. It's on, and it went out on Twitter and Instagram and our Facebook page today.
Oh, that's what it was. And then you all started laughing and indulging each other.
Yeah, you know how it goes. Yeah,
I do. I'm the king of it. I know how it goes real well. I love Tony. He's awesome.
He is. Tony's a great guy, and we love having him on as well. So.
Did he tell you he's moving away, maybe?
No, he did not. He didn't say that.
Okay, I'm not either, then.
Okay, good. Good.
All right, it may be a secret. Next time he's on, talk to him about future plans.
Excellent, because, we're all thinking about making future plans ourselves, so anyway. All right, Mark, we're at the end of our rope here. We're going to have to go, and we thank you for taking some time out of your Sunday to give us a call, and we will... don't be a stranger. You can reach out to us if you ever want to get on the East Coast media feed, and this way we don't have to chase you down. We'll always find a spot for you.
Well, we have a another little show that I'm just finishing working on that is looking pretty promising. And once I get kind of a little better feel, I'll give you a holler, and maybe we'll hop on the horn together and talk about it.
Excellent. That'd be great. Please do.
Okay, guys. Take care. Thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mark. Thanks for being on.
Take care, Mark.
Bye-bye. All righty,
bye-bye. Bye-bye, guys.
All right.
Bye.
All righty, Chris, that was the great Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars. Oh, yeah. The guy has a lot on his plate, boy, I tell you.
He sounds good.
Woofah.
He sounds good.
Yeah, busy, busy stuff. So, listen, let me take one last quick little break here, because I always have to play Steve K's promo. He's a good buddy of ours, and we're going to get that out. And then we'll come back and close out with thoughts, closing thoughts, right here on Motormouth Radio. Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino. And, let me do this on 90.3 WHPC. Keep it where you got it.
Well, now listen, people, let me tell you some news. I sing a song called the Crude Oil Blues. We're low on heat and on, we're low on gas. And I'm so cold, I'm about to freeze myself.
Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Press is green. We got the crude all blue. And son, if we can't make a record, then we don't need you.
Yeah, we can't make a record. We can't pick the right promos either. We're hitting the wrong buttons over here.
Nice.
But it's live radio. What are you going to do? We just then hit the right one, and that's how it works. So
that's it.
All right, we're back, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and we are going to decompress from the Mark Warman Show. That was great. I can't wait to listen back to this. Go on, Chris.
Let me just throw one thing out. I'm gonna stir the pot a little bit, Ray. Because here's what I'm. Mark mentioned Wildcat, and Wildcat, I've seen their videos. I've seen them online. They do something really, really well. They have one of those drones with a camera on them, and they fly it through the lot.
Yes.
There's not one C-body that's newer than 1968 in that lot. I've looked. I think there's one 74 Newport in there, but the rest of them are all 68 and older. And I have a feeling that Mark is going to be crashing into a brick wall when he calls them for any parts for that 70 Hurst.
Oh, okay.
They're not going to have it. Unless I'm wrong, I'd like to find out. But if anybody knows anything about it, please throw it on the site. But I'd like to know. I reached out to them for my car,
okay.
And there's no muscle and there's no C-body over... over 1968, so we'll
see. You know, a guy who may know and a guy who we could get back on this show, Dan Short from Phantom Works, which is now off the air. Dan did restore a 300C, a 1970 300C for a customer. That's what we were talking about with Cliff earlier, where he got a replacement hood, and it was like, forget about it. You know, the hood is fiberglass on that car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I was going to tell Cliff, the hood on the 300H is fiberglass as well as the trunk, spoiler, and the two end caps.
Yeah,
they're also unique to the car.
Right.
So he's going to have his work cut out for him on it. I know that for sure.
Yeah. Well, he may enlist some help from other people. Who knows? He may have some. I don't know. Yeah, we'll find out. We'll just have to follow up on it.
I'll be taking
notes. Yeah. I'll tell you what, people, what you should take notes on, and everybody else as well, is next week on this fine radio show, because we had been deemed Mopar Mouth Radio. Well, we're going for the Holy Triad.
Oh.
Next week, we have Mr. Steve Magliante. And
nice.
A lot of people know him as an interviewer at Barrett-Jackson, and actually, I was wanting to ask Mark why he hadn't been asked to be a presenter at Barrett Jackson, not a presenter, a commentator.
Right.
Just you can never get to everything. But Steve is also a dyed-in-the-wool Mopar guy. I mean, he's known for his altered wheelbase builds on cars and models. You know, that was the.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also, you know, he loves his Mopar. So,
yeah,
we'll have Steve on next week. So.
And he has some very good junkyard shows.
Junkyard Gold on Motor Trend, right on the app. Oh. Now, he may have some leads for you on that C-body because, you know, Steve plays with all of them from Valiants to Vultures, whatever that, you know, if they, I'm surprised Chrysler didn't have a car they called the Vulture. But,
it'd be dead now.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
But, yeah, Steve would be a good guy to ask about that.
That is so true. That is true. Because it's become like a, you know, looking for parts on the, when I had the TR6 was easy.
Because
you called up Moss Motors and they sent it to you, whatever it was. And if you didn't find it on Moss Motors new, you found it on eBay used. So it was, for 20 years, I was like out of this sort of realm of parts searching in yards and calling people and networking. And now that I have this Chrysler is probably the equivalent of like a mid-60s Ferrari if it comes down to finding parts for it.
Yeah.
Because nobody has anything. And the funny thing is I have to go up against the demo guys. When did this start?
Yeah, you got to fight Smoking Joe Galogly.
Exactly. I am a part of the – there's like a demo derby Facebook club.
Are they still doing it? Because, like even Joe said, now, you know, demo derbies have gone to front wheel drive cars now because it's not fair to put a Newport in with a Citation.
It's bizarre what these people have that they're trying to sell, these dented up, mangled, rolling, half of them aren't even rolling, messes.
Right.
And it's just, it's so bizarre. If you want sheer entertainment value, join the Facebook demo derby club.
I was going to say that.
See some of the pictures.
The good thing would be, at least when those guys were prepping their cars, the parts they would take off are the parts you could use.
That's exactly why I'm on that site.
Yeah.
Because I'm waiting for some guy to say, hey, I just parted out this whatever, and I need the door panels, I need the seats,
right.
I need the dash pad, I need, unfortunately, I need all the soft stuff.
Yeah.
And on Chrysler products, that's impossible.
Well,
find it in halfway decent condition.
You know, my thought on this is the following. Your car at least is complete enough to present and drive and take it out on a nice night for ice cream or coffee or whatever the heck you want to do. And you're ahead of the game already. You know, in my mind, you are.
And that is the truth. It runs really well. It stops. It's got low mileage on it. And almost to the point where I can... I got a little bit more to look at it before I can truly trust it. But it, like you say, it does run and drive, and it does it very well.
Yeah, it takes mileage and time to trust the car. I mean, you know, every time out is a danger drive until you know that, okay, well, the brakes will stop reliably and it will steer. You know, and then once you get, you know, it's funny because we kind of forget, we easily forget that, oh, yeah, last week I was afraid the car wouldn't stop. It's easy to forget those things because now it's like, this damn lighter, why won't it work? You know, it's like the next... Yeah, you know, the next problem in life, right? But no, you have a running driving car, so.
Yeah, there are still some hills I will not go down around here.
I don't blame you.
I'm in a very hilly area.
You know, Mark had done, I wanted to touch base on the Christine rep that he's doing. We didn't even talk about that. They put the new, 1,000 horsepower Hemi in it. He showed on Friday night that they retrofitted the car. They took the drum brakes off because it's a 57, 58, one of those years.
What, Christine's Fury? Is it 58?
Right. I don't know if his is a 57 or whatever. And what they did is they retrofitted it with brakes off a Charger. Let me see. The year range was...
I wouldn't be surprised if it bolted right up.
Yeah, well, from a 70 to 72. And what it is a company, I don't know where the guy is. He mentioned the name of the shop. I don't remember what it was. And this guy made, you know what it is? It's all about the caliper mounting bracket. That's the piece that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy kind of made those parts, and you use a stock rotor and a stock caliper and a stock hose. So that's why I said, like, with my own car, I used a lot of original parts because if I was in Peoria or somewhere upstate, I wanted to be able to go to a 7-Eleven and buy, you know, brake shoes. I didn't want to have to go and special order them from a manufacturer. But that may be a good retrofit for your car. You know?
Joe? Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And I was thinking about doing it, but it's so easy to find early 70s Chrysler products. Talking about the drivetrain and the underpinnings, it's so much easier to find the soft stuff.
Off the shelf,
I can find the 73 spindles. and the disc brake setups for those cars at a third of the price because, you know, like you, we're working on a budget here.
Right. The only thing you have to be concerned with that people should know when you're doing that is the spindles need to have the correct taper for the ball joints that are in the A-frame. So as long as that matches, and I haven't seen a guide to show you that, so it's kind of word of mouth stuff, but...
Well, just like when I had that BMW from the early 80s and knew nothing about it, I joined the club.
Right.
And that's what I did with the C-body. I joined the C-bodies only.
Right.
And they are a wealth of information.
All right. We're going to join the C-bodies of America that are out in the parking lot and get the heck out of here. I got to go to Queens. I'm going to go visit with Joe. And Kim is coming in.
Give my best.
Stay tuned for Thunder Road. And we'll be back next week with Steve Magnante for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, signing out of Motormouth Radio.
Don't follow us home.
Nope. See you. Bye.
Bye.